The Fed's not going to let the default happen. The only question is, what is the trigger? When is the next financial crisis going to happen? And I guarantee you that within days, possibly even hours, you saw what happened in 2020, financial crisis, you know, lockdowns, and then bam, like that day, they printed up like $500 billion in the repo market, and all of a sudden the money supply started to just go vertical. It's going to happen again this time, but even more extreme. And it's going to be sometime in the middle of the night, and there's not even going to be a press conference about it.
This is Kaiser Johnson with Liberty in Finance, and this is the Miles Franklin Weekly Special for February 14th through February 21st, 2023, while supplies last. This week we feature the Four Nines Fine Nadir Refinery 10-ounce silver bars at just $2.30 over spot per ounce, and 2022 Mint Fresh 1-ounce Canadian silver maples at only $3.45 over spot. Frequently you have to choose between high volume bars like 1,000 ounce bars to get exceptionally low premiums, or pay a higher premium for more liquidity and increased purity. But these Nadir 10-ounce bars are not only Four Nines Fine, some of the highest purity available, but also maintain a greater level of liquidity, all at the low premium of just $2.30 over spot per ounce while supplies last. They come individually numbered and are available in any quantity, and come 52 a box. Our second special this week features 2022 silver maples at $3.45 over spot. Silver maples were the first silver sovereign coins to be minted at Four Nines Fine purity, and remain one of the most in-demand coins today. They come 25 to a tube, 500 to a box, and are available at the lowest premium we've seen in more than a year, at just $3.45 over spot. Both our specials this week are IRA eligible, and if you'd like to learn more about a precious metals IRA, call us, and we'll be happy to help you in that process. To order these specials or any of the many other options we have available, call us at 1-888-81-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-815-4237. We're available after hours and on weekends, and we look forward to speaking with you.
Hey everyone, this is Elijah K. Johnson with Liberty in Finance. And back with us today is Rafi Farber from the Endgame Investor. Rafi, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thanks for having me, Elijah. It's my first time on with you, and looking forward to a good discussion.
Well, we really appreciate having you on, Rafi. Our viewers always enjoy these interviews with you. I did want to discuss, because we are seeing continued pressure in the metals markets, kind of what is causing this. It seems like we had a huge rally, but now we're down quite a bit, about $3 on silver and about $100 or so on gold, based on the levels we're at right now. We're recording this on Wednesday. Your perspective on what's happening right now?
You know, when these moves happen, we're all looking for explanations to pin some kind of meaning on this big move. And mostly what we're trying to do, and before I'm going to answer this question, but I want to put it into context and try to get a bigger understanding of what's going on. We're trying to comfort ourselves and try to allay any self-doubt as to what's going on. Is this going to end soon? And somebody tell me something that I can latch my brain onto that explains all these tiny little moves. And yeah, there probably is something, and some explanations will be more believable than others. But look, what we have to accept and understand is that the market is an enormous, awesome thing. And not all of it is kosher, right? There are, you know, there's always shenanigans that go on in the paper market because of the very existence of futures contracts, right? So, you know, the amount of notional gold in the world, most of that is controlled by the banks. Retailers have nothing to do with that. We buy physical mostly. I mean, we don't really trade futures. Banks do that. So these things are going to happen, and banks have liquidity flows in and out depending on certain currencies of the day, of the week, of the month. It could be anything. It could be, you know, Japan named a new head of their bank, of their central bank, and people think that, oh, maybe they'll stop yield curve control. So we got to, you know, that upsets the balance in the Forex markets. But look, if you want an explanation that can allay fears that we might be having, then look, I mean, every time that there's a higher CPI inflation rate, right? Everyone thinks, oh, rates are going to go up, and therefore the dollar is going to go up, and therefore gold goes down. But like, who's really controlling? Who's in control of that trade? it's the bullion banks that have all the positions on COMEX in London, and they flip back and forth between the two. And now, a lot of people want to call this a conspiracy. Maybe part of it is. I don't try to really take a position on that, but what I do know for sure is that most of the notional gold that is controlling these futures prices, on which the much of the bullion market prices depend, that's controlled by the people with enormous amounts of capital that we'll never see, that we'll never have our hands on. So when their trading desks, their algorithms say, oh, buy dollar, sell gold, because the Fed is going to raise interest rates 25 basis points, 50 basis points higher than we thought it was 2 weeks ago, then the people that are in control of the futures market, they're going to sell. And that's going to hit the price. Now, you could say it's premeditated. You could say it's just mechanical. Either way, that's what's going to happen until such a time as, you know, as what happened in the 1970s, 1980s, when gold and interest rates moved together, right? For like 8 years, that's how it was, 1972 to 1980. The higher interest rates went, the higher gold went. That's what's going to return. And the question is, when is that final pivot going to happen? When is that pivot from gold inversely correlated to interest rates to positively correlated with interest rates going to happen? I think it's going to happen at the next pivot, which is going to happen right after the next financial crisis, which is going to happen anytime now, because this pyramidal structure cannot sustain interest rates where they are. The only question is when, and how long is the delay going to be this time? It's not going to be that much longer.
It is very fascinating what you're saying. So the negative correlation between interest rates and gold hasn't been there forever, right? We look back at, as you mentioned, in the 1970s and 80s bull market, they rose simultaneously. So what, if you can expand for our viewers, kind of what conditions allow that to happen?
Well, I'm going to paraphrase Daniel Oliver, and people who watch me a lot and they're on my newsletter, they know that he's my favorite gold analyst, because he really understands the conceptual moneyness of gold versus other commodities. And you have to really read him to understand what I'm saying. But he pointed this out in 2018 from 1971, from the end of the gold window until 1980, gold and interest rates were positively correlated. And what the reason they're not now is simply a mechanical thing, right? The size of the pyramid itself, the pyramid meaning everyone has debt and everyone uses debt to get more dollars so they can expand their top lines and bottom lines. And that this is how a pyramidal structure works. So the more debt you go into, the more dollars you need to service them. Right. So when you have this much debt, on the other side of that, you have all this demand for dollars. So when interest rates are scheduled to go up, or banks think that they're going to go up 25, 50 basis points higher, that really magnifies the short term need for dollars. So people start bidding on them. And what are they going to do to bid on them? They're going to sell their other stuff. So bullion banks are going to sell their big positions in gold to buy dollars, because they're going to need it to service their enormous debts, or to finance the loans they made to other companies that need to service their debts. So when is that reverse? When people no longer need those dollars to service their debts. And that can happen from one of two things. Either they default, right? Either you have a huge deflation because, oh, they can't pay their debts anymore, so they're not going to bid on dollars anymore because they're already out of business. And forget it. So that demand goes away and the dollar falls, right? Or you can have the Fed coming in and saying, all these companies are about to default. They need dollars. They can't get them. What are we going to do? We're going to provide it for them. And then you can break the short squeeze that way on the dollar. And then you have, you know, the humongous move in precious metals after that. I think it's going to be the second one. The Fed's not going to let the default happen. The only question is, what is the trigger? When is the next financial crisis going to happen? And I guarantee you that within days, possibly even hours, you saw what happened in 2020, financial crisis, you know, lockdowns, and then bam, like that day, they printed up like $500 billion in the repo market, and all of a sudden the money supply started to just go vertical. It's going to happen again this time, but even more extreme. And it's going to be sometime in the middle of the night, and there's not even going to be a press conference about it. And if you're looking to, like, you know, front run that, you got to be in now before it happens, even though we don't know exactly when it's going to happen, which is the most nerve-wracking thing, which is why we're all looking for explanations on why is it falling now.
I think one of the key things you said there is that it could happen overnight, and a lot of people are trying to time the market. But like you said, I mean, this is something that could happen very rapidly. And if you wait until the news is announced, then you're too late, it sounds like.
Well, look, I'm trying to to picture, at least after it happens, like put yourself in that mindset and really like try to think about what kind of things you're going to see on the news if the news still exists. Let's assume we have, you know, a world that we can basically conceptualize now. Nothing's going to be that different, at least, except for who has what assets, right? So when these gold bugs or silverbacks or whatever, when they're going to be interviewed and like, how did you stay in the market? And like, how did you know that it was going to, that the dollar was going to collapse? Well, and how did you time it so perfectly? Are we going to have like these interviews from people saying, yeah, I knew it was going to be on this day of that month, so I went all in a week before and I had all the insider information? It's not going to be that. It's going to be people that were like, look, I didn't know exactly what was going to happen. I just kept buying a certain amount every month for my income. I knew eventually it would. And, you know, I didn't freak out every time there was a wiggle and I just kept going and I stayed responsible. Those are going to be the people that win this thing. So a lot of this game, it's a mental war, and perhaps it would be even better if, you know, you tuned out for a week and it, you know, what if next week, you know, all this, you know, $100 move gets erased and you don't even know about it. It's probably better for your brain.
It seems like we got possibly a taste of what could happen in the future just a few months ago with the silver market especially, but also gold, where many of the wholesalers were almost completely wiped out of product. I remember one major wholesaler was pretty much just 1,000-ounce bars and a bit of, I believe, gold, and just a few products were available, very, very minimal. And premiums were through the roof, where we were, you know, seeing 30, 40% premiums on, you know, even, you know, not even the silver eagles, but the other sovereign minted coins as well. You stated in an interview previously we've done with my father Dunnigan, is that when this happens, it might be not possible to get physical metal at that time. Can you share with us kind of again your views on that, and what we're seeing also right now? Because we are seeing a drawdown in supply of metals on the major exchanges and people taking delivery.
Yeah, so people are taking delivery. There's one thing I will say about that that I noticed. I haven't seen anybody else cover it. I only noticed this pretty by accident looking at Gold Charts or Us. And what I did notice was that the metal isn't actually, a lot of the metal isn't moving. Some of it is, but a lot of it is moving from registered to eligible, meaning from for sale on the futures market to no longer for sale. So but why isn't it moving off? Like, why isn't it going into some other private vault? And what I noticed was that a specific vault has accumulated specifically eligible gold, right? Not registered. They have a tiny amount of registered, and that is the Delaware Depository. So the Delaware Depository, I looked it up, and, you know, I didn't, like, do an investigative report on it or anything, or, you know, do any kind of Project Veritas on their executives or whatever's going on there, but I looked at their advertising. What's their business model? A lot of it is individual retirement accounts, right? And so you can hold physical silver in an IRA, and there'd be no reason to move it. So if you're a big whale, or you're a very wealthy, high level worth individual, then you'd probably, you know, buy a futures contract, you know, take the metal off of the registry, put it in an IRA, store it in Delaware, in the Delaware vault, and then just leave it there. So, I mean, that's the most efficient way to buy silver, if you trust that the vault's going to have it for you, and you don't believe in a complete monetary collapse where you'll have to actually take the bar and, you know, give it to somebody. Maybe that'll happen, but in that case, you do need coins. I mean, but maybe these people don't think that'll happen. I'm not them. You know, I'm not the one storing 1,000-ounce bars in Delaware. So as to what will happen in the end game, and will you be able to acquire gold and silver? Well, the question is, yeah, you'll be able to acquire it, but with what, right? Will you be able to acquire gold and silver with, or meaning real money? The end game is really when the money substitute doesn't work anymore, right? Everybody has these dollars, which supposedly represent a purchasing power that they have in their heads how much they can buy, and they have in their heads how much they're worth. But the end game is when those money substitutes don't work anymore. So the question isn't, will you be able to acquire gold and silver? You will. The question is, will you be able to acquire it with dollars, right? When there's no longer an exchange rate between gold and silver and the dollar, that by definition means you can't. So you might be able to call up a bullion a bullion dealer and say, look, I don't forget my dollars. I know you don't want my dollars, but do you want my, you know, real estate or my car or my expertise in XYZ? You know, they have the silver. It's not like it disappears. It's just that people don't want to exchange it for dollars. So you'll be able to acquire it, but with your labor or with your assets. But the best thing is to have it now so you can acquire other people's labor and assets in exchange for the money that you have now instead of being on the other side of the equation. That's what you want.
And when it comes to, I guess, a currency crisis and kind of a complete loss in confidence of the currency, people see what happened in the 80s, you know, when we saw double-digit inflation. And, you know, we were close to double-digit inflation even by the official numbers just a few months ago. But this kind of complete loss of faith in the currency, people in the US at least have never experienced anything like that. And they might be skeptical, like, what is the precedent for this? And what are the signs now that this is going to happen sometime, at least in the relatively near future?
What are the signs that we are in a currency crisis and most of the people in the United States have never experienced it? Well, they did briefly in January 1980. That was the peak of a currency crisis when silver went to 50 and gold went to 872, and that was the dollar nearly collapsing entirely. I mean, Paul Volcker had to bring rates to about 20% in order to incentivize people not to sell dollars. Right? That's how high that it had to go to restore faith in the currency. You had to pay a lot of money in order to get people to hold dollars. And now, when are we going to get to that now? I mean, it could, the pyramid is so complex and so stilted that it's impossible to pinpoint a single fulcrum point that would collapse that you say, oh, it's going to be that one. Right? We don't know what it's going to be, but we know that everything is so huge that when something breaks, there's going to be, I think, you know, a day where we're suddenly going to see the dollar drop like 10% on foreign exchanges and gold rise by $300, $400. And nobody's going to know why exactly this is happening, right? Because there's players with such humongous positions in derivatives that can just melt away to nothing because of something that happens in a central bank somewhere. Or, you know, like it's like we saw this already. We've been seeing it. We saw it in the UK, right? All of a sudden, their entire bond market, their rates went up like 300 basis points in a day or two or something like that. And they were talking about everyone's pension is going to suddenly disappear in a few hours if the central bank doesn't buy bonds right now, right? We've seen these things threaten before. It's not like we're not seeing them, but every time they, like, you know, they plug the dam. But there's going to be one thing where they won't be able to anymore. Right? And we're all saying, just what's it going to be? When is it going to be? We don't know, but we know that it's coming because we see the signs every few months something else is about to collapse. It was nickel on the LME, or it was LDIs on the UK, or I think it's going to be something in Japan. Maybe it won't be something in Japan. Maybe it'll be Credit Suisse. Who knows? But it's not going to be like this steady thing from the 70s to the 80s. I think it's going to be like a day or two where everything changes and everyone says, oh, crap, what do I do now?
And how bad do you think it is right now as we speak with inflation? I know 6.2% is high. It's not as high as, you know, near 10% that it was earlier this year. But I know that you've mentioned that actually the price of basic necessities is rising higher than that. So if we look at the inflation that we're seeing right now and the crisis that we're seeing right now, what kind of impact is it having on the average person?
Okay, so the reason I go to basic necessities, if you just think about this logically through your head, right? So if the price of basic necessities goes up and up and up, then you're going to have to reduce your spending in other things that are less necessary, right? So let's say even most basic on your food bill, you're going to buy less meat, you're going to buy more cereal, right? So it's just more bang for your buck, more calories for your dollar to keep surviving. So the effect of that, if a lot of people are doing it, is the price of meat is going to steady or rise less fast, right? Or even maybe fall. And the price of grains and cereals and bread is going to rise the fastest. And that's exactly what we're seeing, right? We're seeing, if you go to the cereal index or the bread index, how much does bread cost? Well, it's rising at its fastest rate since data has been recorded, I think from 1987, 1988. It hasn't been reported that long, but I think it's rising at like 13, 14% annual or something like that. That's where all the money's going, right? So maybe apparel or cars or something, they're going down because people can afford less of it and plow all the money into what they need to survive. So that's what's happening. So forget about this number or CPI. I mean, it's not that the CPI is manipulated. Even if the CPI were completely honest on how they calculate it and it was consistent and whatever, it still doesn't mean anything because somebody has to pick what's in the CPI, and you can always accuse that person of saying, oh, you shouldn't have picked that because that's not real. And yeah, all those arguments will be right. But like that's why you can't measure these things. So you can only use them as heuristics. So if you're going to use a heuristic, make it a consistent one instead of something that automatically changes all the time because that's how they calculate it.
That's a really good point there. And if you do use the CPI based on the basket of goods that was, you know, they used in the 1980s, I believe we're still at double digit inflation today. We're also seeing at the same time, the financial situation for people, the stock market falling for the first, year for in a while, last year. It sounds like if people have their money in the system and in traditional investments, then they could be, it could be a rough road for them ahead if we see the cost of living and basic necessities that they need to survive rising, but then, their wealth falling.
Oh, that's exactly what's going to happen. We're seeing the money supply now fall absolutely. I think at this rate, for the first time ever. I think it's down the annualized money supply growth rate is something like -2%, meaning for a whole year the money supply has been shrinking, which means that all of these things that rely on the amount of money in the system, like stocks, bonds, and all the other stuff, they're going to fall. And once they start falling uncontrollably, people are going to panic and say, look, I can barely afford food now. I got to get the rest out and put it into real assets. But it's not like people consider this and then think, well, when am I going to move on it? And when am I going to do it? And then, okay, I'll do it today. It's like, it all happens suddenly. So again, you don't want to be part of that happening suddenly. You want to be part of the frustrated group of people now that's saying, when is this going to happen? Because I know that's going to happen. People are not going to, the wealth that they think they have because they open their portfolios and they log into their brokers and then they see a certain dollar number on their portfolio, most of those dollars don't exist. That's the bottom line, right? And when you have gold and silver and you have real money stored somewhere, that money exists. You can hold it. You know where it is, right? The value of the dollar value of your stock portfolio, it's not really there. Okay, that's the problem.
Yeah, and I think, for example, the FTX scandal is one way that kind of woke some people up. Of like, I know people who lost quite a bit in the FTX scandal. That particular event really woke people up to show that if you don't hold your wealth or you have it trapped up in the system, you don't necessarily really own it or can say that it's really yours.
Right. I mean, look, Bitcoin, what was the great thing about FTX and my personal position on Bitcoin, what I tell my followers, look, if you want to speculate on it, do it. It could be interesting, but don't rely on it to save you in an endgame scenario because that is extremely irresponsible. The problem with Bitcoin is that it's like a false prophet, right? When you have a real prophet that's saying doom, and then someone else says, well, here's this man-made thing that can save you from it. It's probably not going to work out. The technology. Blockchain, that's all fine and good. And I'm sure it will be useful in the future and in the present. And I have nothing against the technology, But when a group of people say that, you know, my brand of money is the real money and it will save mankind, it just doesn't ring true to me. And sometimes you just have to use your intuition. Yeah, I could use my logic and say that Bitcoin was born after the dollar and therefore has to be indexed to the dollar, which is what I say all the time. And the dollar has to be indexed to gold because everything has to go back into the past because there's no such thing as fiat. You always have to continue that chain into the past, which is why everything always goes back to gold and silver, which is why when you have a collapsed society or a collapsing society, they always go back to gold and silver, which is why gold and silver always maintain their value, because that's the basis of every pyramid. You got to go back to it. So logically, when the dollar falls, there's no more link between gold and Bitcoin, and Bitcoin goes away too, because when you cut out the middle level of the pyramid, the top layer goes down also.
We are also seeing the digital dollar being developed by the Fed, and it seems like it's kind of the, I don't know if you'd say the dark side of cryptocurrencies, because it could just introduce so much more control to the system and people's finances. It seems like if we do see this currency crisis, then the government will, you know, step in and try to save everyone, but that's not often the best solution. Often it's the worst solution. So what do you say to people out there who I guess are maybe unprepared, or what should they do when the government tries to step in and save them from what's coming?
If you think that you have to do something by the time they're coming to save you in that scenario, it's probably already too late. So get things done now. I don't think that they'll be able to save, there won't be able to bail anyone out this time, because the only way they can bail people out is either by outright stealing from one group of people and giving to another group of people, or usually they just do it by inflating, by diluting everyone's money and giving the diluted effect to the people that need the bailouts, which is, you know, that's basically what happens when the Fed prints money to buy bonds and then the money they give to the banks. That's how it works. But this time there's no more dilution to be done. Everything's been diluted as much as it can be, without triggering the immune attack that the public will make, the public will hit the dollar with, to get out in front of any bailout. So yeah, they're going to try, but they're not going to succeed this time, because the public is going to attack the currency. So get rid of it now. It doesn't mean sell everything you have for gold and silver. I'm not saying that. But if you haven't started to stack, start. And if you would like to buy more, buy more. And if you think you're good and you don't need any more because you have enough, that's fine too. I mean, just make sure you have some. I would say, you know, 5-10% minimum. I don't think that's, you know, a very extreme stance to take or to have. I think even the wealthy people of the world would say that also. But they won't admit that, you know, they're going to lose like maybe 90-95% of their wealth, and they're billionaires. And the people that have, let's say, you know, 10-15% gold now, I don't think they'll lose any purchasing power. I think they'll gain, because in a monetary crisis, right, that's when the global economy requires an actual money to maintain a division of labor. When the division of labor is on the verge of breaking down, there is no greater priority than to maintain it as much as possible. That's why money is the thing, is the commodity. Money is the commodity that will be in the most demand, more than food, more than water, more than anything, because everyone's going to need it.
All right. Well, Rafi Farber, we really appreciate your insights today and your time. But before we let you go, do you have any last thoughts for our viewers? And where can our viewers find you online and your blog if they're interested in learning more?
Yeah, my final thought is relax. Just keep relaxed. That's the most important thing. Like, we talk about Armageddon, we talk about the end of the world. And I always emphasize, look, I'm an optimist. I don't think there's going to be a zombie apocalypse. I think we're going to be fine, specifically because people like us are already awake and we know what we're doing. And by stacking gold and silver now, you are being part of the group that is going to have the power. You know, you have the money, you have the power. Follow the money. Where's the money going? It's going to the stackers because we're the ones buying it. So that's a good thing. Where to find me online? You can find me at the Endgame Investor. Put it on any search engine. It's a service on Seeking Alpha. I write about 3-4 times a week. With a weekend report, you can follow me on my YouTube channel, Rafi Farber, or Twitter, Rafi Farber, and yeah, of course, Odyssey, Mirrors all of my YouTube content because, you know, we don't like YouTube. And, yeah.
Fantastic. Rafi, once again, thank you so much for your time, and God bless.
You too.
Miles Franklin Precious Metals is one of America's oldest and most trusted bullion dealers. Miles Franklin is A+ rated and accredited by the Better Business Bureau, licensed and bonded